Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Okay, it is time for another edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on Sports Talk as we welcome in the one, the only, the great Major Billy Downer. Good evening, Major. How are you?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you this evening? We'll start off with a little weather report. I think probably folks are a little concerned about this tropical storm / hurricane now coming in to the Gulf. Just the update that I got about an hour ago, looks like they're pushing some winds tomorrow afternoon a little higher than they thought to begin with. Again, these are predictions. Predictions can go south in a hurry, but anywhere from 40 to 50 miles an hour in the Midlands. CSRA from up to 60 miles an hour. Charleston even up to 50-some. So just kind of a widespread of what the wind might be tomorrow. I think we're expecting a lot of rain tomorrow and in front of the storm, and then Friday with the storm. So just be prepared for that. Storm is going to be cutting left of our state to the west. So probably Greenville, Spartanburg getting more, I would think, than most as far as affects the storm. But they're not used to seeing that because usually they come in our way and they go up. But it's going to be edging that way. So just some caution for folks preparing for that storm between tomorrow and today.
Anything that folks need to know about from what you're expecting? Any precautionary measures in particular you think they should take for this storm?
Right now, just, you know, abundance of caution. Just be prepared, you know. Power outages are always possible when you get high winds, a lot of rain. Limbs get heavy, limbs touch power lines. And that can happen during a regular storm, particularly when you've got higher winds like this can blow limbs around that are heavy with rain and touch electrical wires and then short out. You know, expect some power outages and just be prepared for that. You always want to tell people, bread and water. If I get the thing, get bread and water. We're not getting hit by this hurricane as far as, you know, it's not coming through our state. It's going to edge us. But we are going to see some effects, some higher winds. So just be prepared for gusts. Again, these are wind gusts, 40 to 50 miles an hour. Gusts mean it's not sustained wind. That's just a blow. Like, it blows that fast for a second, quits. But those gusts can still cause damage. So that's what we see right now. From that, as far as wildlife and new things in the last few days, you know, it is now doe is open for does, taking does now across the state. Been that way since the 15th in game zones 3 and 4. So a lot of people are hitting the woods a little bit more now trying to manage the doe herds because you can now take does. As well as it's our resident goose season. So if you have a migratory bird stamp, your waterfowl stamp, and your state hunting hunting license, and your federal waterfowl stamp, you can hunt these in-state geese during this September early season. And really, as we've talked about on prior shows, this is the main way that we have the tool we have to help manage these populations because, you know, the hunting season is the only time we can take these birds out as far as legally, as far as, you know, remove them from the population to kind of cut the herd some. So a lot of folks out there doing it. A lot of folks get into goose hunting this time of year. It's hot, but it's still fun. So they will do that. But just make sure you have your federal duck stamp and your state duck stamp when you do that. And again, always use non-toxic shot. Your plug and the gun, all those things are required. But other than that, teal season now is opening up. The early teal season is also in. And we got Ryan Williams with us from Georgetown area, and he's very familiar with teal season. So I would hate not to give him a moment to say anything. Ryan, have you seen any teal in the last week?
All right. So teal season has been really slow this year for whatever reason. You know, just the whatever food's available in the area. I think some of the river flooding and the rains that have inundated some of the impoundments and made it where the water's a little too deep. like out around the Santee Coastal Reserve. There are some teal in there, but they just aren't moving a lot. And the pressure was more pressure as far as hunter pressure than we've ever experienced in the years past. So that could have something to do with it as well. But overall, been a pretty slow season on the north end of the coast. I've heard that the south end had a little better season than we did.
Okay. But again, folks, if you're shooting, hunting in that teal season, remember you can't start shooting until 30 minutes. That 30 minutes before sunrise doesn't apply during teal season. You've got to wait till sunrise to shoot. And that's so that there's enough light for you to be able to identify, mainly tell the difference between a teal and a wood duck. Wood ducks get taken by accident during this teal season. That is a violation. You can be charged for that, so be careful. When you're shooting teal, again, you know, all your migratory bird, waterfowl rules apply, duck stamps, federal, state, your non-toxic shot, plug in the gun, all those things apply. But on the time, you have to wait till sunrise, official sunrise, to start shooting. So with that, Ryan, we have brought you in tonight to be our resident expert on shrimping season. The shrimp baiting season has begun. Phil made a special request. We have never talked about it on the show, Phil, so great request of yours. But, Ryan, let's just start off with the basics for a minute. If you're going to go out shrimp baiting, let's go through the basics. What are the requirements?
All right, so you start with, you got to get your shrimp baiting license. And obviously there's a season set every year, which the department set. And it's a 60-day open season that can be set between September 1st and November the 15th for taking shrimp over bait. So you have more time frame through the summer and after that where you can take shrimp just by pre-casting but not the bait. You'll need a set of poles. A lot of people now use the manufacturer poles, and they have to be, when you get your shrimp baiting license, you'll get a set of 10 tags with your personal information on it. And that tag has to be on your shrimp pole. And you also have to have reflective tape, because obviously sometimes you'll be out there. A lot of people go at night still, and other boaters need to be able to see it. And then if for some reason a tide washes, bends one over, and you lose it, and it comes back up, it's, you know, visible at night as well if you happen to, you know, lost it or forgot it. So there's a lot that goes into it. That's your basic thing. When you get your shrimp baiting license, all the rules come with it. And you do have to have that license and those tags before you can go. It's not like a, you know, like a lot of things we have now, the digital version of your license. So you do have to have those tags and put on your poles. And you got to get your
tags. And Ryan, those are like deer tags. Aren't they stickers that wrap around the poles?
Yes. Yep, they're stickers. Okay. Yep, they are, exactly. So some of the more detailed, you know, like I said, there's details on the, like, you can't have them, set them out more than 100 yards of each other, and you have to be at least 25 yards apart from other poles that belong to somebody else, or 50 yards from any dock or public landing or public ramp. And now that goes into a dock too. If you want a dock on the waterway or on the salt water, you can shrimp bait off of your dock without using poles, but you will need your tags. And basically you can wrap a tag around the piling on your dock, and then that makes it legal for you to use your bait at that point.
All right, so Ryan, let's go back over to distances real quick, because that was real fast. So you have to be, the poles have to be at least 25 yards from someone else shrimping?
Yes.
All right. Yep. And what's the 50-yard rule?
That's from any dock, public boat ramp, or landing.
All right, and then what's the 100-yard rule?
Your poles. You can't set your poles from number 1 to number 10, like in a straight line.
Right.
More, you can't take up more than 100 yards.
100 yards. Got it. The total
space.
Length of your poles when your first to your last pole cannot be over 100 yards. All right. Got that.
Yeah.
I know there's one big thing that everybody's waiting on us to say, that does this. Those that don't do it may not know. But you can use a 60-quart cooler, right?
You can. You just can't have more than 48 quarts of whole shrimp or 29 quarts of headed shrimp. So if you have a way
right,
to
repeat
measure.
That. Let's repeat that out loud.
Okay.
You can have more than 48-quart cooler full of whole shrimp. Period. Let's be, make sure
yes.
Nobody confuses that. 48 quarts of whole shrimp, 29 quarts of headed shrimp, right?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times you see people that's coming out and they got a 48-quart cooler and they, you know, sometime over, they want to be legal, obviously, but they want to get to 48 quarts, so there's no ice in it. And, well, you know, it's hot during September, so the shrimp, you know, they'll just kind of have ice scattered in it. You know, they can measure that 48 quarts in that 48-quart cooler and then pour it into 110 quarts so that they can ice it down well, because the officers, they'll have a way, a quart measurer, to measure those shrimp out if they think there's a reason to do so. So that way, you know, you can get more ice on your shrimp and preserve them better.
That's a good point. So you can use a bigger cooler. You just can't have more than 48 quarts of whole shrimp in it.
That's right.
May I ask a question of the Lieutenant Major?
Go ahead.
So I was talking to some folks who had gone shrimping, and I was told that the shrimp were, whatever the proper verb is, a little bit small. Do you find that to be the case? Is that something for this time of the year? Are they mistaken? How do the shrimp look to you?
All right, so, yeah, the shrimp are running small this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, that could have a lot to do with all the rain that we had. You know, Debbie sent a tremendous amount of rain through our area, and we've had other rain events, just, you know, pretty steady rain. So, you know, shrimp grow really fast. I'm not going to throw the exact number out because I don't recall it, but they do grow extremely fast. And the shrimp that's there now that are small, you know, in 3 or 4 weeks, they'll be large shrimp. But for whatever reason, they are running. The Cape Romaine area has run extremely small. Some people have had a decent catch. Bull's Bay, like normal, is a little bigger, but most of the coolers that's been reported are small to medium.
Mm-hmm.
Real mixed shrimp. So it's a little early this year, or shrimp are a little small for this time of the year. But a lot of times that's an environmental effect, most likely, or just a late season. I'm not an expert at all on that part.
Tonight
of it,
you
what
are.
We're actually seeing.
Tonight you are an expert.
Exactly what we are seeing, what the fishermen are getting, and that is they are small right now,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Phil, I'll give you a little credit. Good question.
Thank you.
Great question.
Thank you,
sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Credit to you for that. Normally your questions are somewhat idiotic.
I haven't asked about alligators yet, okay? That's coming later.
Not yet. It's coming. I know it's coming. All right, so,
yeah.
Ryan, let's talk about the typical type bait for those that wonder what do people use when they're baiting shrimp?
You know, mostly what we see now is just a good old-fashioned, you know, people go buy a sack of fish meal and a bag of clay, and everybody has their own formula, okay? Some people go to extremes. Some people just use the bait binder. It's already mixed in a bag. You add a little water, you make your balls, and you throw them out. Some people will make them the size of a cannonball and throw them out. And then other people make them, and they flatten them down like a hamburger so they won't catch in the net as much. You know, I've heard a bunch of different ways of doing it. I haven't personally done it in several years now. But, you know, some people use flour or they go get their own clay out of a clay hill. You know, it's hard to find down here in the low country, but a lot of people from the Midlands and upstate do come shrimp baiting. So they use actual, you know, clay they go and dig instead of buying like a potter's type clay. So the formulas, that's each to his own. But I think it's generally about a fourth fish meal to three-fourths clay, so to speak, is a lot of what I see. And the bait binder.
Everybody's got their own mix, though.
There is no question. It's like cooking a catfish stew or a chicken bog versus a perlo, you know? Everybody's kind of got their own thing.
So let me ask you a question, Ryan. Do you think there's an advantage to nighttime versus daytime with shrimping?
It goes back to the same thing. There's people that only go at night and they swear by it. And then there's people that only go during the day and swear they do better. I think it's being there on the right tide cycle when the shrimp are there and you got a good bait set up and you've set your boat, you set your poles up and you can throw a cast net good. I mean, you see a lot of people that are trying to do it and they don't know how to throw a cast net, or they're trying to throw a 10-foot cast net instead of a 5 or 6 foot cast net. Well, if you can't open up the 10-foot, you're a lot better off just to throw a 5 or 6 foot net than you are. And, that goes into the half-inch mesh size, too, on the nets. You have to make sure, and the manufacturers will label it, for shrimp bait, it has to be at least a half-inch mesh size. And that's to help cull the smaller shrimp out for later in the season.
All right, so it has to be a half-inch or bigger. It can't be, smaller.
Yes. No, it cannot be smaller. With bait. Now, it can be smaller without bait.
Let me get you on one more thing. So, tides, my knowledge of salt water is tides are everything. Tides are important for shrimping too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Tides are everything down here for us. I mean, we even hunt on the tides. Believe it or not, the tide controls, if you hunt along the coast, it controls all the fish, and it controls when the animals right along the coast move. They definitely move with the tides. And generally, it's at the top or the bottom of the tides. It's like an hour on either side is usually the best. So like at an hour before high, an hour when it starts to fall, or an hour or so before low tide, and then an hour or so after it starts to rise again. It's generally what we go on. And the shrimp, kind of the same way. You want the water moving to disperse that scent from the bait. And a good boat operator to help you to ease up and, not run over the bait, give you time to get the net out.
So that's a good point, and I'm going to jump in on that. A boat operator, it's a two-man operation. You cannot shrimp. Mm-hmm. It's hard to shrimp by yourself. You got to have somebody on the boat, so somebody get on the front of the boat. And that person on the back of the boat, you are putting your life in their hands when you're on the front of that boat. You want them to cut and have good control over the motor, because if they gun it, you end up in the drink.
Well, that takes a lot of planning ahead. You want to keep the nose into the wind and into the current so that the boat, when they do back off, put it in neutral. A lot of people set their poles up all kind of odd angles. But if they'll slow down long enough and figure out which way the current's going and what the wind's doing so that they can make a slow approach into the wind and into the current, which helps control the boat instead of just washing right over it.
That's a good point. You are an old salt. That's why we got you on here tonight.
Gotcha. We've done it a few times. In the past, for sure.
I mean, this is a pastime for a lot of people. I mean, I know families that have been been shrimp baiting for years. I mean, you can go to the boat, you can go to the store and buy shrimp, but they love going out and fishing over them poles and with the net. So it's a tradition, I know.
Oh, yeah. People absolutely just love it, and that's great. I mean, that's what we want people, to do. Encourage them to get out, enjoy the outdoors, and shrimp baiting is a good way to do it. And, everything loves to eat a shrimp, unless obviously you have an allergy to them. Hmm. But that's the, and there's even a lot of people that go out and catch them that have allergies. I know people that come down from Columbia that have allergies to them. They love to go. They develop the allergy later in life to them. And they still love to do it. And they just take them back up to actually a little above Columbia, but they just take them back and give them to friends and family. And
absolutely.
So, because they can't sell them. that beta shrimp cannot be sold.
Right.
Yep.
So shrimp baiting is for private use only. It's for personal use.
Yep, recreational use only.
All right, so somebody goes out there and they have more than the limit. They have 60 or 70 quarts of shrimp. What's the charge?
So it can be up to $1,090 per quart.
Jeez.
So it is per quart. So if you start getting, you know, obviously, I mean, and it has happened in the past that people got into them, and we've caught people come out with 150-some quarts because they would fill up every hatch and hole in the boat because the shrimp was just too good. And it can get very expensive. And, you know, those like anything else, those fines are set for people that, you know, that may deserve a higher fine.
Absolutely.
But each quart of shrimp can constitute a separate offense.
Okay. And the reason we do that is to protect our shrimp population because we have the ability to do this. It's a great resource, but we have to protect the resource, and that's why we do it. I don't want to focus on negative things like tickets, but I want people to realize that we protect the shrimp. And I know I've heard stories over the years of people encountering our officers at landings, and we've done the traffic stops after landings checking shrimp, and people have seen that for years. The reason we do that is to protect the resource. So,
are we in any danger of not having enough shrimp to, you know, meet the demand of the commercial entities and the regular shrimp fishermen? Are we in any danger there?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's definitely they reproduce rapidly, and the department monitors that type stuff very strict. Just like tomorrow, they'll be doing test trawls in the Winyaw Bay, North Santee area, because you got the channel net season coming up. But they monitor those waters to make sure before they open the season that they're plentiful and the size of them and everything is where it needs to be to allow them to harvest these shrimp. So if it's not on target, they're not going to allow them to do it.
They've delayed it before. And I was going to say this, Bill, the question you're asked, though, there have been times our shrimp population has been lower than what they want. But because they can recover so quickly, they can be successfully managed by just timing the right your seasons. So that's the best answer. Is we have a good shrimp population. I know that brown shrimp are something I love. Mm. From right there in the Ace Basin, it's good homegrown shrimp. But our department does a really good job of trying to manage that and maintain a good grip on what that population is doing so we can make sure that it's there for generations to come, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. They are constantly monitoring the numbers.
Yeah. Ryan, anything else you want to part with on that? Any safety tips for those that are shrimping?
Absolutely. We got this storm coming in. The winds are going to be up. It's inevitable that somebody's going to try it. You know, we hope that everybody will heed the warnings, and if small craft advisories are put out, especially in the Bulls Bay area, because it is basically the ocean, you know, please heed those warnings anywhere, because, you know, you get out there and you get in trouble, then, you know, somebody else has to risk their life to come assist you. So the warnings are there for a reason. We know we got bad weather coming in the weekend. Just please heed those warnings and always wear that life jacket and kill switches.
That's a good word. Thanks, Ryan, for being with us tonight. And, Phil, thank you for another edition of Sports Talk.
Thank you, Major Downer.
Have a good evening.
And thank you, Ryan. Great stuff. Hope everybody enjoyed learning about the shrimp side of things in South Carolina. That'll do it. For Chris, Josh, this is Phil. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.